Not again.
Not again. Why, God? Why?
Folks, you're listening to an emergency basketball podcast. I regret to inform you that DeMarcus Cousins, the center for the Los Angeles Lakers, has torn his left ACL, and he will be out the 2019-2020 regular season. We're going to discuss this devastating news in today's podcast. Stay tuned. You're listening to the basketball podcast. Folks, you're listening to an emergency basketball podcast. Thank you for tuning in. If you have not heard the breaking news out of the NBA in the last 48 hours, DeMarcus Cousins has torn his left ACL and he is out for the 2019-2020 NBA season. This, of course, is devastating news for DeMarcus because this is the third major leg injury in the last couple of years, last year and a half, pretty much. If you're unfamiliar with his injury timeline, here it is. Here's the significant ones. In January of 2018, while playing for the New Orleans Pelicans, DeMarcus tore his left Achilles. That's a terrible injury to try to come back from, especially a big man who was 28 at the time, 27 or 28. That offseason, he signed with the Golden State Warriors, rehabbed with them, and came back in January of 2019. And I'm pretty sure his first game back was against the Pacers, and I was at that game, and they thumped the Pacers. We won't talk about that. He came back. He played pretty well in the regular season. Got to his first playoff appearance, first time he'd ever played in the playoffs, and tore, in April of 2019, tore his left quad. That's in the first round against the Clippers. Most expected that he would be out the remainder of the playoffs, but of course the Warriors went on to go to the finals, and he was able to come back and play in the NBA Finals. He came back in June and played in the finals. This offseason, he did not get the offers, the money that he was hoping to get. I even went on this podcast back in June and said, someone should just throw a max at him. Knicks. Knicks could throw a max at him. Why not? Even if he gets injured, just throw a max at him. Like, you'll sell some jerseys. But, of course, no one offered him good money. He ended up signing with the Los Angeles Lakers, reuniting with Anthony Davis, who he played with in New Orleans, and Rajon Rondo. And now, coming out in August, just a couple days ago, he has torn his left ACL. And he is out for the 2019-2020 NBA season. A couple of thoughts that I have about this. If you haven't seen the video, I don't encourage you to go watch it necessarily. It's sad to see anyone get injured. But there is a video that's floating around. I saw it on TMZ, floated through my timeline. And it shows DeMarcus playing a pickup basketball game. It's not like a random pickup basketball game where he's at a park or something. He's at a facility playing an organized pickup basketball game. There are referees there. He's driving to the basket, and he ends up taking an awkward step. You can see immediately where it happens. He starts hobbling over, laying on the ground. A couple of people have their hands on their head like, oh my gosh, he just tore his ACL. And the thought that I had there is, I understand that it's not, again, this isn't a pickup basketball game like where you're at the park. Like, he didn't go to Rutgers and try to just play random basketball. I mean, it's obviously organized. He's where it happened. I did a little bit of research into this. He's playing at Impact Basketball, and this is a facility in Las Vegas where he's playing. It's actually a fairly new facility from Impact Basketball. And I looked up Impact Basketball's website, and it has a long list of alumni from the NBA that have played there. Notable names such as Kevin Garnett, Chauncey Billups, Tayshaun Prince, Tyronn Lue, Al Harrington, Dante Jones. Those are the founding fathers. They're six very special Impact alumni that helped build what has become the world's finest basketball player development organization. There's tons of other players that are listed here as well. So again, what I'm trying to communicate is it sounds like he's been spending time at a facility that has a fairly good reputation. For these NBA players to all allow their names and their pictures to be on this website, I'm assuming that this is a fairly respectable basketball organization and training program. Regardless of the facility where DeMarcus was injured, what I'm just perplexed by is the fact that DeMarcus Cousins, who, as we just stated, has had a significant Achilles injury and already a significant leg injury, is playing pickup basketball in mid-August. If DeMarcus was playing at Team USA and this happened, my reaction would have been, it's incredibly devastating. If this had happened while he was at the Lakers training facility with Lakers teammates, trying to build chemistry and camaraderie, again, what a terrible, unfortunate situation. In those scenarios, he would be scrimmaging for a greater purpose than just playing basketball. I'm just so confused why he's at Impact Basketball playing up and down basketball in mid-August. It's devastating, but it's just confusing to me. It's surprising to me that this is how it happened. A couple other thoughts that I've had about this whole situation. The Sacramento Kings have done well without DeMarcus Cousins, and I think about what they would still look like if he was playing for them. I'm not saying that they are brilliant at managing their team, and I'm not saying that the trade that they made where they got rid of DeMarcus Cousins was a good trade. They had no idea he was going to go on and tear his Achilles and then his quad and then his ACL. No one knew that. At the time, it was still a weird trade. But it's interesting to see the trajectory of the Sacramento Kings and DeMarcus Cousins once they split. Because the expectation was that DeMarcus is a top 5, top 10 player in the league. And of course, now injuries have derailed that. And meanwhile, the Sacramento Kings have been doing well compared to what they had been doing before. They're getting better. They're building something. It's surprising because when DeMarcus was traded from Sacramento, and he was traded for like Buddy Hield, who was bad for New Orleans, this is not what I would have expected. I honestly didn't expect DeMarcus to be falling out of relevancy because of injuries, and the Sacramento Kings to start to quietly be a relevant team in the Western Conference. Just an interesting thing to reflect on. Weird times. The final thought, of course, now that DeMarcus is basically out for the whole season, who do the Lakers play at center? I've read some interesting articles about this. There's some interesting thoughts floating around from various news sources about who the Lakers will sign to replace DeMarcus Cousins. And first of all, there's no one that you can go sign to replace him. I think that's pretty clear. When he's at his best and when he's healthy, he's one of the best centers in the game. And not anymore. He's not top two, top three, but he's definitely an above average center when he's healthy. It's hard to replace with guys who haven't been signed in free agency at this time in free agency. Like, if there's centers that are floating around that are free agents still, it's because they're not good. Who are the top five options for DeMarcus Cousins' replacement? Number one, Joakim Noah, the 34-year-old guy that can't shoot a basketball from 12 feet out. Perfect replacement for DeMarcus Cousins. Or Kenneth Faried, the 6'8" power forward that that can't play center. Or Dwight Howard, that would be interesting. Except, well, he's on a roster already. He's not a free agent. Everyone expects he'll be bought out, but he's not a free agent. You can't. If you read these articles, don't be fooled. There is no replacement for DeMarcus Cousins. And quite honestly, I would be surprised if the Lakers panic and go try to get a replacement. There's nothing out there that's really worth signing right now. If they really need a stopgap, if they say we've got to have someone to play center for us, then sure, go sign Joakim Noah. Go sign Kenneth Faried. Sign Hashim Thabeet. He's trying to get back in the league. Sign Amari Stoudemire. If you're at the point where you're like, we got to sign Joakim Noah, like, go sign Hashim Thabeet. Just do it. Just for fun. It's a waste of time if you're like, oh, Joakim Noah is going to solve this franchise's gap. Don't get me wrong, Joakim Noah played actually pretty well for Memphis coming off the bench. I'd say pretty well. He was serviceable off the bench for Memphis last year. Memphis. That's right, Memphis. They were the number one seed in the West. No, they were one of the worst teams in the league. He was serviceable on one of the worst teams in the league. That's my point. If you're Los Angeles, don't sign Joakim Noah. There's some funny theories that are being floated. And I don't know if they're even theories. I feel like sometimes sports columns just publish garbage because they've got to publish something. They've got to get their clicks on their website. So there's an article from CBS Sports, and it's honestly kind of laughable. It's DeMarcus Cousins injury fallout. Lakers have limited options in free agency. Who do they go to replace DeMarcus Cousins? And they basically just list every center that's a free agent. And then they also list players on the Lakers that could fill the void. Who do the Lakers turn to at center? Well, maybe they turn to the players that are on their team. That's a novel idea. And then, of course, the next two sections are maybe they turn to the trade market. Basically, what this article is saying, the Lakers need a center. What do they do? Do they sign a free agent? Do they just move someone over on their team to play center? Do they trade for someone? Or do they wait for the buyout market? There's no actual insight or decision. It's like if you're driving and you're using Google Maps to navigate because it's unfamiliar territory that you're driving in. You're using Google Maps to get direction. And you come to a four-way stop and you look at your phone because you are anticipating, expecting, hoping that your phone will guide you, will direct you. Because that's the whole purpose of this app. It's to give you direction. It's to give you insight. It's to tell you where to go. And you turn to it, and it says, you can go straight, you can go right, or you can go left. Those are your options. Okay, what do I? Which one do I do, Google? Where do I go? I'm trying to get here. How do I get there? Well, you can go straight, you can go left, or you can go right. That's basically what this article is doing. You need a center? Well, here's your options. You could sign a free agent. You could just move one of your power forwards over to play center. You could trade for one. Or you could wait for a buyout. That's what you can do. Thanks, CBS, for the top-notch insight. DeMarcus, if you're listening, I'm sure that you're not, but if you're listening, I hope you get better. We're going to miss you this season. Too many guys are going down with injuries in the NBA. So that covers this segment. Let's move on to talk quickly about Team USA Basketball because I have some additional thoughts that I didn't share yesterday. Folks, if you're subscribed to the Basketball Podcast, then you're well aware that we just yesterday released an episode where we discussed... No, not... disgust, like, I'm disgusted. Well, actually, yeah, I was disgusted. I'm disgusted with Team USA basketball. We discussed the disgusting Team USA basketball reports that are coming out. Apparently, Team USA basketball is not very good. It's not surprising based on the roster. There are two players on this roster have been All-Stars. One has ever made an All-NBA team, and it was Kemba Walker 2 years ago, last year, third team. The two All-Stars are Kemba and Chris Middleton. I think those are the only two. This team looks disturbingly bad, just on paper. Well, apparently, they look bad on the court as well, because reports surfaced that in a scrimmage, Team USA got smoked by G League players and overseas players on the select team. This came out. We talked about it yesterday. Well, as soon as I published my podcast, video evidence surfaced of said spanking from the select team. And, oh my God, you need to watch this. If you have not seen it, folks, you need to watch this because it is laughably awful. There's one sequence, just to give you a sneak peek of how incredibly awful this is. There's one sequence where Harrison Barnes is guarding the inbounder. He's guarding the inbounder. The select team is taking it out of bounds on the side. And he's guarding the inbounder, and he turns his back to the inbounder. Now, I'm no professional basketball player. I'm not a professional basketball analyst. The most basketball I ever played was high school basketball. And then I played rec basketball. So obviously, I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm fairly certain that you should never turn your back to the ball. I'm fairly certain about that. Typically, when playing defense, it is advantageous to be able to see the ball. But Harrison Barnes, he's a Team USA basketball player. He turned his back. I've seen enough basketball movies, such as Like Mike and He Got Game, to know that I shouldn't turn my back to the inbounder because they'll probably throw it off my back. And then if it's Bow Wow that does it, then he'll dunk it on me, right? Jason Kidd learned that the hard way in Like Mike. That's not what happened in this scenario. It's honestly possibly even worse. Harrison Barnes turns his back to the ball, and he's trying to prevent the ball from being inbounded by guarding the person that's cutting for the ball. And I understand that you see this happen in NBA games sometimes even. Even when it happens in those games, I'm like, what is happening? Why are you doing that? Just guard the guy with the ball. Just do it. It's fine. Just guard him. Well, Harrison Barnes turns his back to the ball. He tries to prevent the ball from being inbounded by guarding the guy cutting for the ball. Well, it didn't work because they still passed it to the guy that he was trying to prevent from getting the ball. And then the person that inbounded the ball stepped 2 feet in. They passed the ball right back to him, and he's wide open for a three-pointer, and he drills it. Like, they weren't inbounding on the other side of the court. They weren't full-court pressing. They're inbounding on the select team side. The select team is inbounding on their side. And Harrison Barnes is not denying the inbounder. He's denying the person cutting. All they have to do is pass it in, and he steps back 2 feet in from out of bounds and drills a three. That's just a sneak peek of how horrendously bad the video and the scrimmage was. It's awful. It's awful. This is the team that we're sending internationally to play and represent the United States. Concerning. The other thing that I honestly picked up from this video is that I think it's safe to say at this point now, we need to all go ahead and just get off the Jason Tatum hype train. Jason Tatum had a good rookie season, and honestly, it wasn't that he had an amazing rookie season. It was that he had some great moments, he had some flashes, and then in the playoffs, he had some really good playoff games. He had a good playoff run his rookie season. He went up against LeBron. He had that huge dunk against LeBron. Body bumped him. He made a statement. They lost. Obviously, the Celtics lost in the Eastern Conference Finals, but it was clear that Jason Tatum was the next star. Well, this past year, he wasn't that good. He wasn't that good. You would have expected that he would have been better, but honestly, he was a little worse than his rookie season. He doesn't make shots like he did. He turns the ball over. He's lazy on defense. And just in the 10 minutes in this scrimmage, he wasn't in for the full 10 minutes. He got subbed out at some point. Even within this scrimmage, it's clear he is not an elite basketball player. I think we need to go ahead and get off the Jason Tatum hype train. I'm officially deboarding from the Jason Tatum hype train. I'm not that impressed. Team USA Basketball is looking horrendous. Go watch the video. Before we close this episode, I want to take just a moment to recognize my listeners. This is episode 21. I've surpassed the 20 episode mark. Woohoo! I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. If this is your first time listening, welcome.
We're glad that you're here.
If you haven't subscribed,
subscribe on your favorite listening platform.
We're on everything, folks. We're on Google Cast. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We are wherever podcasts are. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Twitter as well. We don't tweet much, but we do tweet out the newest episodes.
We have an email. We do mailbags often. Send us an email.
Thank you for listening. We're excited to get to episode 40. We're going to double it up, baby. Episode 40. Yeah. Thank you for listening. If you haven't subscribed, go ahead and subscribe. We'll see you on the next episode. You've been listening to the Basketball Podcast.